So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. It is Tommy Freedom here, coming to you loud and clear. I will let you know that I am pre-recording this show ahead of time because of the weather. Now, this is the third hurricane to come through this area in the past 6 weeks, and I'm really getting tired of all this rain. So what this rain has done, it has kept me, I'm recording this on this past Friday, by the way, kept me from running my Friday route, which I'm now going to have to run tomorrow, which is past Saturday by the time you get this. Then I also have a monthly to run, which is going to take care of Sunday and Monday. So I have like absolutely no time this weekend to get anything done, much less do this show when I normally would. Everything is just getting bumped around, and it's just, it's horrible. So anyway, just to let you know, this show is pre-recorded. I got a couple of things I'm going to talk to you about today. One, of course, being that series of prop bombs. And notice I did not say pipe bombs, I said prop bombs. I'm going to get into some detail on that. But before I do, I want to start with something. Very rarely do I hit a holiday before it happens. I always forget, and I end up having to do something like the following week, just kind of going over the holiday that I had forgotten to speak about on here. So this is a rare opportunity that I have caught myself. And George, go ahead and do the lead-in for the first topic, if you would. That's right, folks. Happy Halloween! I don't think I've ever done a Halloween show before. Now, I've done Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's Day, 4th of July, Father's Day, I think. I don't think I've ever done a Halloween show before. So, I don't know. Let's see how far this goes. Maybe I will do the pipe bombs next week after we have more information. It depends upon how long this segment goes. But Halloween is one of my favorite holidays. Well, at least it used to be. As I've gotten older, I'm not as much into it as I was, say, 10, 15 years ago. Now, keep in mind, folks, I am 50 years old. I enjoyed Halloween as an adult. Obviously not as a trick-or-treater, but I had just as much fun getting ready for Halloween and setting everything up for Halloween night. I think I had more fun doing that as an adult than I really did as a kid going out and trick-or-treating. Now, Halloween is George's absolute favorite holiday, isn't it, little buddy? Yeah. I know you got a sweet tooth. A sweet fang is more like it. But it's the only time of the year where George can actually be himself. He puts on a costume. He goes out. He knocks on people's doors. He gets the candy. And nobody realizes that there is a cat underneath that costume. Except, was it last year or the year before he forgot to put the gloves on? Yeah, and he reached out and there was this paw under there. And the old lady just thought that was part of the costume. But it's the only time that he can actually be himself. Otherwise, when he goes out, he's got to walk around on four legs. He's got to meow. He can't converse back and forth. So it's his favorite time to get out there and just interact with people, which he absolutely hates doing. But I would interact with people in a much different way. I used to go to the gun show right before Halloween, the last gun show before Halloween, and I would buy a couple dozen of the Cyalume light sticks in different colors. Red, white, blue, yellow, green, orange, purple, all the colors that they had. I would just buy a ton of them. And I would bring them home, and then before it got dark, I would start preparing the yard. Now, at the time, I had a couple of maple trees in the front yard, and I had pampas grass on either side of the driveway. Now, unless you're from the South, you probably have no idea what pampas grass is. But it's a huge clump of ornamental grass that can get like 8, 10 feet tall, 12 feet in diameter, and in August it has these like frilly pom-pom plumes that come out the top. It's a very attractive ornamental plant until it gets hit by ice and then it dies back, and then it's a absolute bear to cut back in the spring because this stuff is like switchgrass and it'll just cut you up when you get in there with the shears. It was a very popular ornamental back in the 80s, which is when I initially planted it. It's since been cut down and replaced with modern stuff because I'm on the cusp of landscaping design now. So I've replaced it with yuccas, cacti, palm trees, and bananas. But back then, when I was actively engaged in hosting kids for Halloween, I had the pampas grass. So I would take these Cyalume light sticks, I'd break them, tie a string around them, and lower them into those white kitchen garbage bags that you have. You know, I think they're 20 gallon. And I would put them down so they were hanging in the middle. I would blow the bag up, then wrap the string around it and tie it. And I would hang them in the trees, and I would put them in the pampas grass. So as it got dark, you had these spooky orbs that looked like they were floating in the front yard and landing in the pampas grass. It was really eerie. It was really cool. And I actually had a reputation for probably about 10 years where people were coming from many, many neighborhoods to my yard for the experience. And what I would do is I would point my motorcycle down the driveway. Of course, I have my uniform on and have the motorcycle pointing down the driveway, use my helmet for a candy dish, and then I had the car parked next to the motorcycle. Had the blue light on the dash in the car, and of course my motorcycle is equipped with wig-wag lights, the headlights. And what I would do is have the porch light on, of course, to entice people, and of course they'd see these glowing orbs just like floating in the yard, and they'd come in, and as soon as they hit the driveway, I would hit the wig-wags on the motorcycle, reach over, and plug in the light on the car. So you had, it would just like illuminate half the neighborhood with these white lights and these blue lights going around, because my blue light is the old style. It's not one of those strobes. It's the old ones from the 70s. It was my dad's because he was a firefighter in Connecticut, and in Connecticut, firefighters still use the blue lights. So he, of course, had retired as a firefighter, so I took the blue light and now I use it. And it's the old one that revolves with the magnifying lenses. And I mean, this thing just illuminates probably 6 or 7 yards on my street. So it was this huge light show, and people absolutely loved it. And then they would come up, and I would have my helmet hanging off the handlebars as a candy dish. And I'd reach and I'd give everybody a handful of Tootsie Rolls. I'd go over to Sam's, I'd get 600 Tootsie Rolls, whatever it was. I could never give them all away. So I just, you know, just a heap and handful, whereas everybody else, they give out, you know, those little candy bars one at a time or a couple pieces of bubble gum or something. Well, everybody got a handful of candy from me, as well as the light show, and they loved it. And for a couple years, I had a big fuzzy black cat named Jacques that would sit next to me. So as they would come up with all these lights going on, there's this big fuzzy Halloween cat sitting there just adding to the air, and it was really, really cool. But over the years, more and more people started coming in from other neighborhoods that were obviously not white. Not that that really bothered me, but what bothered me was the fact that most of them weren't even wearing costumes anymore. They were just coming for the candy. They weren't even getting into the tradition of Halloween. The tradition of Halloween is what I like, just like the tradition of Christmas. Yes, Christmas tells a holy story. We understand that. It's the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. However, I love the whole tradition of Christmas. The snow, the Christmas trees, the Christmas carols, the coming together. And the same thing with Halloween. It's all about kids dressing up, and even adults sometimes with parties and contests of dressing up and just having fun. And I loved having fun. I had more fun, like I said, as an adult doing this as I did when I was a kid going and getting the candy. But one year in particular, I still chuckle every time I think about it. It was one of the last years I did it because pretty much everybody that came through that year, and I think it was the last year, because everybody that came through was not wearing a costume. And that was when I said, you know, that's it, forget it. But these two black kids came walking down the street, and one went into a yard. Well, they both went into a yard diagonally across the street. And then they got to my driveway and the driveway across the street. One went across the street and the other one started into my driveway. So I immediately lit him up. And folks, it was the funniest thing. I mean, this kid literally froze. And I was really waiting for him to put his hands up. But he just froze. So I hollered at him. I said, "You want some candy?" And he kind of stood back up and he came walking up. And of course, I got my uniform on and all that kind of stuff. And I said, you know, "Happy Halloween, law-abiding citizen." You know, the whole thing that I would do. And he came up and I reached and I gave him a handful of Tootsie Rolls. Dropped them in his bag. And his eyes just got really big. He says, "Wow, thank you." He goes down the end of the driveway and he hollers to his buddy who's coming down the driveway from across the street. And he goes, "Man, go over to the sheriff's yard. I just made out like a blanking bandit." It was the funniest thing I've ever seen, but that was the last year that I did Halloween. And it pains me because I really enjoyed doing that. But, you know, there was a few kids that spoiled it for everyone else. Now, I'm sure there's still places in this country where Halloween is still traditional Halloween. I'm quite confident of that. But unfortunately, in this portion of Charlotte, it has gone the way of the dodo. And now there are very few people that even put their lights on and participate in Halloween anymore in the subdivision that I live in. And it's a shame. Because when I moved here in 1984, you really had to go far and wide to find a house that didn't have its light turned on. Everybody participated in it. And it was in a close-knit neighborhood, a close-knit community. These houses were all built in the 50s and the 60s. And there were still a lot of original inhabitants that were living here when I moved here in 1984. And unfortunately, over the years, many have died. Others have moved away. And with the expansion of Charlotte, this neighborhood has changed dramatically. It is not the neighborhood it once was. It's predominantly minorities now. Blacks, Mexicans, Vietnamese. There are still quite a few white families in here, but nowhere near what it used to be. And we are outnumbered. Fortunately, though, it is still a very safe community. And the road that I live on happens to be one of the safest streets in Charlotte. And the reason for that is there have been a few, shall I say, incidents over the years where I have had to handle situations with a firearm. And people know not to mess with anything on the street, most especially this house. Now, just last month, this street and a street behind us and the street alongside of us, all the cars got broken into. A couple of thugs came through looking for guns. Want to guess whose yard they missed? That's right. They know if they come in here, there is a high risk that they will get shot. And folks, that is a great deterrent. Just like, as I told you, it was last week or the week before, about those two punks on motorcycles. As soon as they thought I was going for a gun, that was it. When people think they're going to get shot for their actions, they change their attitudes pretty damn quick. But we've only had a couple instances over the years. I've lived here, like I said, since 1984. So that's what, 94, 2014, almost 34 years. Yeah, wow. 34 years this October. So, well, been here a long time. Anyway, only had a few issues over the years, but there's a couple in particular that really stand out. One, I was running for public office in 2005, and I was fixing the floor in my bathroom, and all of a sudden I heard this commotion in my front yard, and I went and I looked out the front window, and I see two black guys running through my front yard. One's chasing the other, the one chasing the guy has a gun in his hand. Well, folks, you don't do that in my yard. You just don't. So I immediately retrieved my duty weapon, which as a conservation officer is not a 9mm. It is a 44 Colt Anaconda. Came out the back door. I see a guy standing in the side yard. Had my gun up in the air. I badged him. I said, what's going on? And he said, well, I came over to see so-and-so, and this guy shows up, and he's got a gun. He's chasing me. I said, just hang on. Wait here. Went across the street. The other guy's standing there. He's still got the gun. I badged him. I said, what's going on? And it was an issue over a girl, which typically with blacks, it is. It's either girls or guns. So I made him unload the gun, put it on the bumper of the car. I said, now I'm going to go get the other guy, and I'm going to escort him out of the area. You're not to interfere. Do you understand me? He said, yes, sir. It's okay. So I got the other guy. I said, follow me. I'll get you down the street. Got him out of there. And then I came back and I said, dude, what is wrong with you? You know, really, what is wrong with you? And he mumbled something. I said, it's not worth it. You know, you pull that trigger, you kill someone, you're going to go to prison. Well, I found out later from my next door neighbor, he had actually pulled the trigger and the gun misfired. So there was almost a murder in my front yard. But I did not know that at the time. I said, well, just leave the guy alone. He's not going to come back. I promise you, after today, he's not going to come back. Just leave it alone. He said, okay. So at that point, I reached in my wallet and I pulled out a bunch of push cards with my name on there for the office I was running for and handed them out to everybody. I said, please keep me in mind on voting day. And the guy looked at that card and he looked at me and he said, man, you sure know how to make a first impression. That was one instance. There was another instance in the same yard, same house, on Halloween night of all nights, that someone threw a brick through their picture window, and I chased him down, got him at the end of the road. I was like 28 at the time. I was wearing engineer boots. They had a half block head start on me, and I still caught him. And that was another thing that went there. So there's all kinds of things that have happened over the years. People know not to mess with this yard. But I think the funniest one was diagonally across the street was a rental house. And a drug dealer moved in there, and there was really nothing I could do about it. I did get the street light so that it turned on all the time, was on all the time. And to this day, this happened 20 years ago, folks. To this day, that street light is on 24/7. They never changed it back. But the guy came out of his yard in his car on Halloween night. And as he drove down the road, I lit him up. I hit the blue light and lit him up. And a couple of minutes later, I see a car coming up from the adjacent road. And just for the heck of it, I decided to light him up. It was the same guy. The very next day, the car that was always parked at the end of the driveway, and if you've ever seen a drug house, you know what I'm talking about, was up in front of the garage. There was no more traffic that came through. Nobody ever visited the house again. The following Halloween, he and his kid came into my yard. I lit him up. Of course, he saw the uniform. There were no more issues. He moved out a couple years later. But that's just how the situation is here on Tommy Freedom Avenue. I am, oh my gosh, is that what you're waving at, George? Folks, I am way past my time for a break. When I come back, I want to talk about those so-called pipe bombs, the prop bombs that everyone has been receiving for the past couple of days, and give my take on what I think is really, really happening. Because I don't believe it.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. That is an awesome tune. That is Alice, Sweet Alice, doing Around the World. Now, that's the only good song that they actually have. I don't like the rest of their stuff. It really sucks, but I do actually like that tune. And ironically, their keyboardist, in one couple of the videos, she had hair. It was all the same length. Not like it was short, but it was like chin length. And, you know, that's kind of a recent style in women's hairdos. So I posted on this particular, not this video, but another video where she had her hair short like that. Why do women whack their hair off like that? And the bass guitarist for the band sent me a direct message that said she had breast cancer and she lost her hair and she's growing it back out. Now, don't you feel like an... And, yep, I did, and I apologized for it, and that was the end of that. But, yes, I am man enough to admit when I made a mistake, and it was not that she was going with the current hairstyle. She had lost her hair due to cancer, and God bless her for coming back from that. But let me get into the story real quick about these pipe bombs and let you know my take on this. And what? George is telling me that there is breaking news that they have detained somebody in conjunction with this. Now, keep in mind, folks, by the time you hear this, it's not breaking news. It is at the moment on Friday. And at that point, I'm going to cut it. I went on to do another 20 minutes that was dedicated specifically to this whole bomb fiasco. And as it turns out, they have caught the guy, and he seems at this point to be a Trump supporter. So at that point, everything that I was going over and mulling around the different possibilities and things like that, the whole part of the story became moot. So since this was being pre-taped, I figured I'd just go ahead and delete it back to this spot, and I will continue the few remaining minutes we have of the show. I think I'm going to go back to the Halloween and just make this a whole Halloween show and leave it at that. We'll see how the caravans are doing when I come in next week and see what Mr. Trump has done about that. But for right now, I think I'm just going to keep it with the Halloween theme, as I said. Now, I'm not really sure if I'm going to play my song at the end or if maybe I'm going to play a Halloween-themed song, thinking maybe something from that 1980s movie Trick or Treat. That's very Halloweenish. We'll just have to see how much time I have. What do I have? I've got like 6 minutes left. So, no, actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the CDC coming out and advising people not to dress their pet chickens up in Halloween costumes this year. Now, can you guess why, George? Well, yeah, they look ridiculous. I will give you that, but that's not the reason. You don't know. Okay. Well, apparently, chickens can carry salmonella. And when your chicken is dressed up in a Halloween costume, you want to snuggle it more and can contract the salmonella. And I guess several people have been hospitalized this Halloween season for dressing their chickens up and snuggling and smooching them and contracting salmonella poisoning. It just never ceases to amaze me what people will do with so-called pets, like these little dogs that you carry around everywhere. It boggles the mind. But I don't know, what would you even dress your chicken up as? Can you think of anything, George? No, George, no. I'm talking about, who would you dress it up like? See, I'm thinking Attila the Hen. Or maybe Chick Norris? Rooster Cogburn. Oh, these are all people dressing up like actors. I know. The most common Halloween costume is the ghost. So if you dressed your chicken up like a ghost, it would be a poultrygeist. And on that somewhat sour note, I will leave off for this week. As suggested earlier, I will be parting with After Midnight by Fastway off the soundtrack of Trick or Treat. Have a safe and happy Halloween.